Grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had an experience of being so tired that you just can't fight the fatigue and you drift off into slumber? Sometimes that can happen in the most embarrassing times. I remember one time I was in a business meeting and a particular lady drifted off, and she was snoring so loudly we couldn't have a conversation, and somebody had to nudge her, right? You sort of dread that happening, don't you? We can all probably identify with Peter and James and John as they just gave in to exhaustion in Gethsemane while Jesus watched and prayed to his Father. It had all been so busy, exciting, scary, and confusing, just a roller coaster week of emotions for the disciples. It shouldn't surprise anybody that these guys were just tired. They had sleepy eyes. Who knows if Peter, James, and John had gotten any sleep since they heard that sermon from Jesus about staying awake and watching because you don't know when the hour will come. And on top of that, what could be more boring than watching somebody else pray? You know, as far as their own praying went, well, haven't you ever nodded off while you're praying? They are reclined on soft grass in the garden. They've just finished a big meal. The cool night air is just perfect for sleep, and well, a nap was inevitable. It was sinful that they didn't do as Jesus told them, but let's just be honest. We would have probably done the same thing if we had been sitting there in their shoes. Now, however, is not the time for self-righteousness. Now is not the time for Peter, James, and John bashing. It happened for a reason. This stuff happened the way it was supposed to. This event reaches us and teaches us to identify sinful humans as sleepyheads whose willing spirit cannot overcome the weakness of the flesh. This scene also shows us Jesus as the Lord of Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, whose eyes were set only on doing his Father's will. When it came time for all righteousness to be fulfilled and all the sins of the world to be paid off, that could only be done by one, the promised one, Jesus, the Holy Christ of God. He had to be the only one awake, to persevere through the home stretch, to suffer, and then to sleep the sleep of death in a tomb. But for us and for our salvation. Tonight's Passion reading places before our eyes the depth of woe Jesus would suffer for us. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is deeply sorrowful, deeply troubled. The weight of the world literally is on him. The weight of the world's sins is pressing heavily down upon him. He falls down in weakness and trembling, begging, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." The cup Jesus is speaking of is the cup of the Father's wrath against all the sin of the world. Not just the sins of that moment, but every sin from the minute they took a bite out of the apple to the last one that will be committed. All the sins of all the world. God's wrath for that, his unfettered rage and furious outpouring of condemnation. Jesus didn't want to drink that cup. The perfect, sinless, holy Jesus, whose will was truly perfect, prayed so that he would not have to drink that cup of God's wrath, and he knew that it was possible for his Father to change things. Which teaches us that death and hell are not good. Death, decay, eternal suffering was not God's plan for humanity. Those are consequences of Adam's fall, and we inherit that mess. Except for Jesus, right? He was sinless. He didn't deserve death. He didn't deserve to drink the cup of God's wrath. His prayer certainly shouldn't be seen as cowardly or faithless. It was simply the language of faith in a God whom he knew, for whom all things are possible, right? But I did leave out some essential words of Jesus. And those of you who know the account well, maybe you know what words I left out. Probably the most important ones. He didn't stop with, "Father, take this cup away." He said, "But not what I will, but what you will." Again, he prayed, "Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, thy will be done." And then he prayed a third time. He prayed the same prayer, and the Father answered his son's prayer. The Father's will was for Jesus to suffer for you. The Father answered Jesus' prayer by giving his son, who would accept his good and gracious will, and the son willingly went into captivity when Judas showed up to betray him. Moments later, Jesus said, "All of this was done so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." He means so that the Old Testament prophecies of who he would be, that Old Testament scripture, everything that it said about him would be fulfilled and complete. Just as it said, he would be betrayed into the hands of non-Jewish people and sinners and brought to his death. The Father's will was to crush his own son and to make him an offering for the guilt of our sins. I bet I am learning now more than ever. Parents cannot begin to wrap their minds around how much love the Father must have for us to give up his own child. It would torment us to even think of our own child suffering. How about God the Father, who is perfect and loves perfectly, loving his perfect son? How he must care about us. Now, the Father's eternal love for his son and Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus' death, of course, does not stop in Jesus' death. It points forward to a short time further, a time called Easter, when Jesus appears to those disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And the terror of that sleepless week and watching their shepherd die, their master die, finally comes to a moment of peace, and he says, "I am alive again." When he said this, their eyes got to look on him. They got to look at his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, is exactly what the gospel records. Through all of this, Jesus had eyes only for his Father's will and your salvation. Through this, he fulfilled what he had told his disciples. Quote, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The good and gracious will of God is that you set your eyes on the Son, believe in him, and have eternal life as a free gift. With that good news in mind, fall asleep tonight in peace, and each night, and awake to serve him every morning. And when your eyes eventually sleep in death in this world, you can be confident that they will awaken again to everlasting life eternal in the world to come. That promise has been given to you in Jesus' name. Amen.